I just watched, I binge watched all the seasons.
Anything in particular that stuck out that you're like, yeah, I need to do that, or yeah, I need to watch out for that?
No, not really. It was just kind of a, just like to understand like the feel of how it might be. I don't really think I pulled out any pointers. I just did my own thing, you know.
Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Danny. So, I know you're finding out Jackson Wink. Do you actually live in the house there in Albuquerque?
So, I split my time between, you know, Southern California and that Jackson, and I actually live up in the mountains in Albuquerque. One of Greg Jackson's good friends actually, you know, helped me out with my own cabin up here on the mountains. So,
oh, nice.
I sleep at about 8,000 feet elevation every night.
Well, it's because we talked to Max Griffin earlier about how he has a mental coach that has really helped him perform his last two fights. And I just thought, you know, the guys who actually have access to a facility like Jackson Wink or ATT and Coconut Creek, you know, how important it is to keep you focused on the task. How important is that team around you for your success inside the octagon?
Oh, yeah. You know, when my mindset changes, you know, when I leave California, I leave my dog, I leave my girlfriend, my friends, you know, Tub Swanson, everyone out there, you know, they send me to New Mexico in good spirits. They send me out here knowing that, all right, Dan has to go to work. It's, you know, gladiator school out here, especially the way I live. You know, I live up in a house by myself in a cabin, you know, living out of my training bags and a suitcase, and I just put in the work. I eat, I train, and I sleep.
And obviously having Greg there, a very good friend of mine, you know, he's one of those guys that can keep you on point and keep you motivated, I'm sure.
Oh, Greg and I started working with each other close to 5 years ago. I don't know what he saw in me or what it was, but he never gave up on me. And, you know, he put a lot of time and effort and, you know, his friendships, you know, he gave me a few of his friendships in order to make this work for me. And, you know, I was running yesterday up in the foothills, and I remember Greg used to take Ray Borg and I there when Ray was training for his world championship fight. And I remember, you know, puking and just trying to keep up with Ray Borg and trying to beat him on every sprint up the hill. And that's when Greg Jackson told me, he said, this is why you'll become a champion one day. And that has burned into my head for the last 5 years when I pushed myself. It burned into my mind.
Sure. You made a comment last night, you know, on the program that I really want to talk about for a second. It's, you're only the second athlete that's ever told me that. The first one also is a former UFC fighter, Marcus Jones. He played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of my closest friends. And he would always tell me that he hated football. He was just really good at it. He was a number one draft pick. He made a lot of money, but he didn't like it. And you kind of made, not kind of, you did. You made the exact same statement last night.
You know, a bunch of people take it different ways, but my insight on it is, for instance, I hate dancing. Like, I hate going to the club and dancing. You know why? Because I suck at it. I don't practice dancing 5 hours a day. I practice how to fight 5 hours a day. And I get a couple report cards a year, and that's by going into the fight. And that makes it terrifying, knowing if I'm good or if I'm bad, or if I did enough, if I'm evolving correctly. And that's what makes me hate it. It's never the fear of fighting. I'm never afraid of the guy in front of me. I'm never afraid of the actual flashing. That stuff I love, you know, because when I was a kid, I was afraid to get in, like, fights. Only because I didn't want to get in trouble. I don't have that excuse anymore. I don't get in trouble for going to do stuff that will get me thrown in jail. You know?
Yeah, because now you get paid to do it.
Yeah, now it's now it makes it, there's no, I don't have any excuses of why I can't do it and be good at it. But what I hate about it is the fact that there's always uncertainty. You know, it's terrifying. I don't like losing my stuff. I like what I've built, and I put in the work, and that's what makes me hate that part of fighting. It's terrifying not knowing if I'm good enough. And, you know, I do know that a lot of athletes feel that same way. And, you know, I never want people to think, oh, he's afraid of fighting. I don't know if you watched last night, but I'm clearly not afraid of the fire. I like that.
Yeah. No, and I didn't take it that way at all. You know, I didn't take it that you don't, you know, that you're afraid to fight. It's just the process and, you know, what you're doing. And like you said, not knowing the outcomes. You know, no, I totally get it. Go ahead, Matt. I know you got something else.
And so, Danny, so listen, I have a gym that's a vertical training. And what it does is it simulates altitude training by dropping your internal blood oxygen levels lower. I train fighters. I train former fighters. Talk about, like, living at 8,000 feet and the advantages in the fight game for guys that don't have that advantage or don't live in altitude. You know, what does that do for your cardiovascular endurance?
Oh, man, I couldn't even tell you because it's normal for me now. But I do know that, you know, I just got out, started camp this Monday back in New Mexico. And I didn't really feel it in my lungs because I have been training the whole time. But where I did feel it was in my muscles. I don't get as much REM sleep when I'm up here, like at the beginning of camp, because my body's still acclimating. But as soon as it kicks in, you know, I come up here, it's harder to recover, but your body gets used to it. And then, you know, towards the end of my camps, you know, I go into training and it's like I'm not even doing anything. You know, I'm training at about 4,500 feet, but sleeping at the 8,000 was already the hard part, the recovering part. So that's when it plays a major factor for me, where, you know, I come up here during the day and, you know, at night, and it's time to relax. It's time to force my body to wind down. It's a science, and I'm still trying to figure it out. But I definitely know that it has advantages. I know when I used to wrestle in college and high school, I would be that wrestler that I'd be afraid to get tired. I wouldn't go as hard as I could because I was afraid to get tired. And in my fight, that fear has gone away completely because I know that I'm doing those extra things like staying up here. And if I'm tired, my opponent is dead tired. And I just know that. I even know that in training. And it's actually, there's even something that I've kind of realized. Down here in New Mexico, we only do 1 hour training sessions because your body, you know, it's hard to go in that hour. Whenever I go to California or Chicago, we're training for 2+ hours. Here, you just need an hour and then you got to recover and go do it again in a couple hours.
Interesting. I was going to say, you and I have something, you know, in common. You said how, you know, you feel like you're not training, and I feel like that every day because I don't.
Yeah. No. Dude, man. Trust me, I felt like I was sick for a couple weeks. You know, I got to basically go on a little tour, go home, see everyone. And I was wrestling every day. For a lot of guys, that's hard. For me, it felt like I wasn't even...
The listening ship, S-H-I-P is what he said.
I'm the lazy piece of shit.
The listening ship, S-H-I-P is what he said.
I'm the lazy piece of shit.
Finally, let's go back to the house just for a second. Like I said, we're now 6 weeks in. How is everything going in the house? And I want to say how happy I've been in the sportsmanship that's been shown. You know, I've been involved with covering the UFC since day one, UFC 1. First one I actually covered was UFC 11. You know, I covered 1 through 10. UFC 11 was the first one I attended. You know, and I've seen the switch from all the sportsmanship to all the WWE shenanigans and all that kind of stuff. And I'm enjoying watching so far everything, the sportsmanship and win, lose, or draw, and how all of you guys have treated each other after the fight. I know some stuff's going on in the house, But, you know, talk about that. You know, the sportsmanship and everything that's been shown so far.
You know, the sport's taking a change for the best, and especially in young guys, where a lot of us don't care about the shenanigans. A lot of us are doing it just to achieve our goal and our dreams. And, you know, when you know that there's 15 other guys also doing that, there's no time, there's no room for, you know, negativity, whether you're dishing it out or someone's doing it to you. And I felt like everyone in the house was basically, you know, on the same playing field when it came to, these guys are here. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't have a job right now. So I need to respect that.
Good stuff. Good take. Dan, I want to thank you for coming on. We're going to send you out a care package from 8 Man Strong of some gear, as well as a pair of earbuds from Jabral Electronics.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
I appreciate your time. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a good one. I hope
you as well. And yeah, Dan does a lot of work with my good friend Greg Jackson out there. Matter of fact, I got to reach out to Greg. We need to get Greg back on and maybe bring him back to town and I can watch him jump out of a plane again. I still won't do it, but at least I can watch him do it.
I'll go along for that ride.
Well, my main contact at SOCOM is no longer there, but I don't know if you remember the story. So we both went out. We were supposed to go out with Cowboy as well, and he didn't come to town, last minute change. Greg and I go out there, and I thought we were all jumping together. So it wasn't as big of a deal. So when, you know, the instructors and everybody said, all right, it's time to suit up, who wants to go first? I thought we were going together, so I didn't jump right up. So Greg jumps up, he gets all suited up, and then I start to stand up, and they're like, oh no, we only have one photographer. So we'll take Greg up first, and then we'll take you, which I didn't care about, but turned out to be a bad idea. So then they take Greg up, Greg jumps down, it appears everything is fine and dandy. I'm now suited up, I'm attached to the guy. We're sitting out by the plane, the propeller's going, we're getting ready to go, and we do one of these little practice whatevers off a little 2x4, and all of a sudden another SOCOM guy walks by, and he kind of does the, you know, where you take your flat palm and you're shaking it back and forth, meaning no-go. I had no idea what was going on. I'm ready to go. And I've always talked about my very talented stomach. I always know when I'm in trouble, when I said something stupid, when I'm going to get, you know, like I can't say spanked when I get home because nowadays it's against the law. You know, whatever. I knew the day before I got let go at a radio station, I knew my stomach was just in knots. I knew I was going to lose a sponsor that day. My stomach was in knots. That day, all day, I never had that. And you would have thunk, if I'm jumping out of a perfectly good airplane, that I would have not liked it, right? And right. I would have had that, but I never had it. And it never hit me. Well, then when he walks out and he's doing the no-go, no-go, I'm like, what's going on? They're like, we can't take you up. The winds are too high. We can go. The Red Bull team that didn't even have parachutes that did those, they looked like bats.
And oh, yeah, the bat wing thing.
Like, they were there. They got on the plane, and some of the SOCOM guys bought out the plane. The plane would only go up if it was totally sold out, and they bought the extra seats. I don't know how many it was, just so that I could go, because we were talking about this for years, but they couldn't take me because of the winds. So then on the drive back, Greg's like, yeah, it was really rough up there. You know, I've had X amount of jumps, and that was a bad one. Like, you couldn't have told me when I thought I was going.
Right.
He's like, no, I didn't want to tell you because I want to talk you out of it. Like, all right, whatever.
Well, look, if you want to redo it, you bring your cowboy, I'll bring mine, and we'll go tandem jumping.
So you're going to jump with the guy that has no clothing and no parachute.
Well, neither one of us really have any clothes on, but we will strap ourselves together. We'll go jump.
I'll go if I can watch you jump out of a plane with no clothes and no parachute.
You gotta have a parachute. Gotta wear something, right?
And the trade-off, I'll allow you no clothes if you go with no parachute.
Oh, man. Well,
I'll even push you out.
Well, I know you'll push me. That's no question.
Absolutely.
Okay, right. We could run that back.
Yeah, probably not. I'm good. All right, we're three quarters of the way down, one quarter to go, and then I got to get myself prepared for tonight's Stanley Cup victory when they skate around with Lord Stanley's Cup. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, it will happen because they're a much better team. All right, when we come back, we'll go back out and discuss last night's fight with the winner from last night. See, we didn't even talk win, lose, or draw because it's really not important. We're talking about the house and the experience and getting to know these fighters because you are going to start seeing all of these guys again, whether it's the Ultimate Fighter finale or, you know, down the road now that there's 6.5 cards a week. So we will see all these guys again. Let's go ahead another break. Coming to you live from the bunker and Times Square, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sergeant.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's up? This is Sean Lights Out Merriman, former Charger, now CEO, co-founder of Lights Out Extreme Fighting. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Chris Sims from the Tampa Bay Bucks, and you're talking with Randy Harris, baby.
We're back to the dungeon, and I'm slowly doing more work here in the soon-to-be Knockout Radio studio, and I just ordered 2 70-inch screens, which I'm thinking about putting up in this thing.
Dang. Give me a lazy boy. One of those human touch chairs. That way I'm comfortable when I come to the studio next week.
Well, A, I already have one, and B, you're not invited.
Because I saw our boy Vinny A, or Vin A, from the Bronx Wanderers, who was hanging out with the fat one himself, Joey Fatone, in Vegas?
Yep, they were in Vegas. I reached out to him. We were going to all get together today, but when I changed plans, Vin leaves for Chicago. They're going to do a performance or two in Chicago. They're headed to New York. I believe they're going to still come back. And by the way, we're thinking about doing a road trip towards the end of the month when my good friend Adam Hunter comes to town, and he'll be okay. down in the Fort Myers area. So we're thinking about going as long as you're driving the limo.
I'll drive and I'll open for him.
Never mind, you're not going.
But I'm available. Yes. I'm a freelance, what do they call those people? An unemployed artist.
We'll just go with the unemployed part.
Or untalented unemployed artist. That's what
I'll go. I'll go with two of those words: unemployed and untalented, and that's what we'll go with. So it is all good for sure. So what were we talking about?
We're getting ready to talk about Ricky Turquios coming on the program here in a little bit. He is from Houston. In the Woodlands area. So shout out to a great friend of mine, RC Gallegos, who owns RC's Pizza and Pasta down there in the Woodlands. He won the Pizza Cup. He's one of the top five pizza makers in the country. And so next time we go to Houston, because I think the UFC just signed a five-fight deal for Houston. Is that right?
Yep, they definitely did. I've been to Houston a few times. Eve Edwards was living in the Woodlands. And so, you know, I was hanging out with Eve. We went to a couple of his favorite dining establishments. Also stayed in the Woodlands when we went when I went to the Super Bowl and the All-Star game there. So I love Houston. And then when I was just down there when John Jones lost to Dominic Reyes, we went to...
He did not lose to Dominic Reyes.
Oh, I thought I was there. I thought
No. He did not lose. He should have lost, but the referees did not give him the victory.
Well, the referees don't judge. They don't have anything to do with it.
They do have everything to do with it because, I've seen some bad reffing lately, especially when it comes to the bare knuckle boxing, and you've got like referees stopping fights, not giving standing eight counts, ending fights early. The reffing is a big deal. As much as the judging is terrible,
I didn't say that it's not a big deal. But the refs really don't have a say in the scorecards. The only time that they have a say, which they shouldn't, is when they don't call fouls, when they don't take points away, when they give that warning and then that very scary harsh warning,
stern warning. You've been stern warned.
You know, next time I judge for WCFL, I'm going to put my stern vote in. I'm going to do my stern judging scorecard. These are my stern picks. I honestly think stern warning or harsh warning, whichever one of the two you want to go with, maybe leapfrogging legend as a word that ticks me off even more.
Oh, yeah, it's a... And you know, while we're talking about it, I mean, I'm just sitting here in Times Square looking at, you know, people watching as the city is just electric and just amazing. Like, how come there's not more fighters coming out of a big area like New York City? I mean, you would think that this would be like the fight capital of the world, probably, because of all the people. But it seems like other places in the country dominate the fight game.
You know, I mean, I can respond to that so many different ways. One, I would be willing to bet there is somewhere in this country, somewhere in this world, a fighter that is much better than Khabib. I'm willing to bet that there is a fighter somewhere in this country, somewhere in this world, that's better than Amanda Nunes. You know, it's an opportunity. It's honestly having the money to be able to do whatever that sport is. I have said this, and I'm embarrassed by it. If my daughter was my niece, okay? If my daughter was my little brother's daughter, my daughter would be on Broadway. There's no doubt in my mind. But just its means, it's financial, it's, you know, the money to train, the money. You know, you could have all the raw talent in the world. You still need, you know, to train some. You're not just going to walk right in, you know, and dominate a fight or even win a fight. There's talent out there. It's just being able to find it and having the wherewithal to be able to use that talent, you know, to be a fighter or be whatever.
And speaking of the fighter pay and the backlash in the UFC is getting from not paying their fighters enough.
Hold on a second. What do you mean speaking by? I didn't bring that up.
No, but what I'm saying is that just last week, Jake Paul, the controversial boxer, you know, who knocked out Ben Askren, donated $5,000.
He did not knock out Ben Askren. He didn't fight Ben Askren. He fought Ben Askew.
Well, Ben Askew. That's because Michael Buffer is too old and forgot the guy's name in the main event. I think Michael Buffer's been hit in the head a couple times. But Jake Paul donated $5,000 to Sarah Alpar to keep her fight career alive because she went to create a GoFundMe account so she could focus on just fighting so she has opportunity to compete at the highest level. And so, yeah, you're right. The best fighters may not be known, just like I'm in New York right now. Probably the greatest basketball player is right here in Rutgers Park, you know, playing basketball on the street, but, you know, probably has a couple felonies, maybe smokes some weed, and you can't play organized sports or go compete for your country on the biggest stage because of a marijuana charge.
Oh, you want to go back to that?
I'm just saying. I mean, it's stupid to take away that dream from that young girl. It's a bigger crime that the powerlifting is transgender and the dude with the penis got the gold medal. I think that's a bigger crime than taking away a gold medal opportunity for a woman because she smoked a joint. It's crazy. It's absolutely ludicrous.
I agree. Well, first of all, Ludacris has nothing to do with this. I'm sure he has an album coming out soon. I agree with you. I think it's ridiculous. But if that's still the rule, that was the rule with the UFC, and it cost fighters. It cost Nico Price. It's cost numerous fighters because it's the rule. It doesn't matter if we agree with it. It doesn't matter if we believe weed does nothing at all or weed does do something and puts you in a better state. Whatever. It doesn't matter. What matters is it's against the rules of the Olympic Committee. That's their rule. Should they change it? I think they should. But my opinion doesn't matter. I will give her the runner. I can't remember her name, and B, I'm sure you couldn't pronounce it anyway.
I would try though.
I give her all the credit in the world. She didn't try to hide from it. She didn't. She took the blame. You know, she took. You know, and everybody deals with whatever differently. So, you know, I'm not going to get on why she smoked it or whatever. She knew that it was wrong. So she's taking her penalty the best that she can. Did the Olympic Committee make the right decision in the 4x100? I mean, we can argue that as well. You know, if her penalty is a 30-day penalty and the 4x100 is 33 days from now, she should have been on that team.
For sure.
The U.S. Olympic Committee trying to prove a point doesn't make sense because the penalty was 30 days. So if it's 30 days, it's 30 days. Who are you to add on to the penalty? That's your penalty. It's everybody. Yeah. That's the penalty. So to penalize her, you know, to try to prove a point to the rest of the Olympic athletes, which I believe I was told today is like 500 or 700 strong. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. But
didn't the UFC and USADA, didn't they take marijuana off of the banned substance list for the UFC?
Well, again, to the best of my knowledge, and we both make up crap as we go along, the UFC might have agreed with it, but they don't have, you know, it's kind of like the referees. You know, they're told USADA took it off. You know, the commissions take it off. The Nevada Athletic Commission is the one that puts these rules out. Could the UFC pressure that kind of stuff a little? Of course they could. But, you know, they follow the rules of the state. They follow the rules of all these commissions. But back to the other, because I'm so adamant against leniency, she should get a 30-day suspension, but she also should be on, you know, the Olympic team that she's qualified for. She could have been qualified for. I have another complaint I want to get to. Let me change it just for a second, because I'm being blasted for this as well. So an undrafted rookie out of the Naval Academy has just been given permission to go to tryouts.
Notre Dame, right? Or was he? Did he go to Notre Dame?
I believe he went to Navy. Typically.
Oh, I know. Oh.
typically it's a naval academy. It's an academy that then sends you, you know, to the military, not a place like Notre Dame or Florida State or UCF or whatever. I'm dead against that. I'm 1,000% against that. And a lot of people are like, oh, the kid deserves a chance. No, he signed a contract. And not just him. I don't think any athlete that goes to the academies, that gets a free education, that signs a contract, that then they're going to go do something, they should go do it. And then after they serve, then maybe, you know, they could have the opportunity.
Yeah, but, you're correct. His name is Cameron Kinley.
Right.
And he graduated from Navy as a defensive back.
Right. That's just my opinion, and I know people are all on me, and they're all upset about it, and we'll try to get back to it before the end of the show, because we don't want our next guest to be mad, so let's get right to it. We talked to his opponent last night, which was really weeks and months ago, when we spoke to Dan. Let's welcome Ricky Tucios. Ricky, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. Now, we asked Dan in real time last night, how long were you in the house? But if you can tell me how long ago last night's fight took place.
Yeah. I believe the fight when I fought against Dan happened on May 6th. That's when it happened.
Okay. A, that's unbelievable that you even remembered the date.
Right.
I wrote it down on my journals and stuff. And it was very easy to remember, too, because we waited in Cinco de Mayo. That's what happened. Yeah, we waited in on the 5th of May. Then the next day we fought, you know. So, yeah, it's about two months removed from the fight. You know what I mean? And, man, it was a banger of a fight between me and Dan, man. Shout out to him, dude. That dude's a warrior. And for sure, we went out there and we did that gladiator shit. And it was nuts, man.
I think he said gladiator stuff.
Gladiator ship.
Gladiator yeah. Stuff. Oh, ship. You're right. I did say gladiator stuff.
There you go. You know, I spoke to Dan about it, and I've spoken, you know, every week, you know, to the competitors. One of the things that I'm enjoying watching, and I hate to keep saying it to the listeners that continue to listen to the show, and we appreciate that, but, you know, you don't know this, that I've covered the UFC since UFC 1. I started covering in person UFC 11, which basically means I have clothes older than you are in age, and I understand that. But the thing that I've enjoyed the most of this season is the sportsmanship. You know, yeah, some stuff's going to go in the house when you're cooped up. I was in the military. I know what happens being cooped up on a ship. But the sportsmanship that you guys have been showing leading up to fights, pretty much at the weigh-ins, and I can only talk about what we've seen, so I don't know what's happened behind, you know, the cameras. But your two fight, you know, last night, you two that fought last night, really 2 months ago, the sportsmanship before leading up to, hey, I love you, but I still got to take you out. And then, you know, how you two responded after, I think says a lot about the two of you, the athletes in the house, and hopefully the future of our sport.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Well said, yeah. I always say it. I said it to Dan, and I say it to all my opponents before the fight, you know what I mean? It's just before and after is all respect, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what the martial arts is about, you feel me on that? I mean, I know that there'll be times in the sport where, you know, sometimes people they talk this and talk that, and then, you know, that's all good. Everybody got to walk their own path, whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's other people, whatever they got to do. But for me, the way I walk my path, you know what I'm saying? I'm for sure, you keep it humble, walk with respect. You know what I'm saying? It's all respect in this sport. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know what's up. And yeah. So everybody in the house, they were all very professional for sure. I really appreciated that. I think it had to do too with maybe because this season was the first time they were going to be on ESPN, and they said that they really assembled the best crew that they could assemble, the best cast of fighters from middleweight and bantamweight, and they were all professional, really tough dudes. Everybody in the house was super tough, man, and yeah, it was a good cast of characters for sure.
You know, taking that a little bit, and they happened to show one of the clips last night when they go back in previous Ultimate Fighters, you know, when they showed a former Tampa Bay resident who's now back up in Maine, Alan Berube, you know, those guys were all professionals too, yet Alan Berube, you know, talks these two guys into a fight in the backyard and costs all three of them, you know, their dream of moving on the contender, you know, getting maybe to be the Ultimate Fighter and being a UFC fighter. So it's still something about being locked in the house, you know, nothing else to do, no TV, no... that sometimes you do some stupid stuff, and so far, you know, again, I don't know up until last night, so far you guys have really handled, you know, and I've enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, every episode, we only get about, the episodes are like, you know, 50 minutes long-ish, you know what I'm saying? So they only get to show so much of the fight buildup, but to share right here when we chopping it up on the radio show right now, man, yeah, the isolation and being just cooped up in this house with all the guys, oh man, we had to find ways to entertain ourselves or whatever. So, you know, we got to the point where we were playing blackjack with pinto beans, you know what I'm saying? And like, we don't got any poker chips or nothing. They ain't giving us nothing, you know what I mean? So we're like playing with these pinto beans and we're like just cracking jokes or whatever. Oh man, it was an isolation for sure, bro. It was interesting. But I'm grateful for the experience. Definitely gave a lot of time to grow internally as well. Like being alone, meditating on the thoughts. You don't have anybody else around you. You know what I mean? Telling you this, telling you that. So a lot of the alone time to just be alone meditating or being in your room, thinking of the thoughts and the pressure of the fights that are on the buildup. It was a lot of energy for sure going on inside the heart.
Let's talk about leading up to last night. Obviously, the opponents have been on a pretty good run. They were 4-0 last week. You know, you guys got your first win. How is your guys? I hate calling it a team, you know, and I've always struggled with that. Teammates, training partners, all that kind of stuff. How is everyone who's fighting under Alex's banner? How's that? How is everybody coming together now that you've won 2 in a row and you're now 2-4?
Yes. I mean, I'll be real though. 100%. You know, in an MMA, it's an individual sport, right? You step in there alone. You step into this ring alone. But I got to give a shout out to the Volk boys. You know what I'm saying? Because they did a good job with the coaching staff, Volkanovski, and all the boys, Coach Joe, Coach Woody, Craig Jones. You know what I'm saying? Coach Frank. Old boy Kobe Thickness, you know what I'm saying? We were in there. They did a good job of creating this family environment with us. And then, as well, all of the Volk boys, you know what I mean? All 8 of us on that team, you know what I'm saying? We all became very close in that house because it's like, man, you don't got nobody. You don't got your friends and family, you know? So really, all you got is these other guys that we all just met. We just met literally a couple weeks ago. But, man, we all became the bestest of buddies. Between they're grinding together, we're sweating together. You know, we don't got no friends, and now we all friends now. You know, we all in here in this pressure of this high stakes scenario in this Ultimate Fighter house, and we're all gonna fight. You know what I mean? So we definitely bonded well in getting energy from each other. You know, and thankfully too, all of the guys on the squad, all of us, all 8 of us, they were all very humble guys. Hardworking guys, you know what I'm saying? And man, I really got along with every single one of them. We all got along really well, and all of each other, they all helped, like, speaking on my experiences, they all helped me in very individual ways, from, like, you know, when we were talking strategies with me and Lampros, and me and Mitch, we were grinding together, and me and Brady doing jiu-jitsu, or me and Aaron and Brian Battles and Ryder, and we were, like, having fun playing cards or whatever, and we're just, like, talking about fun stuff, and for sure, like, that pressure, there's a lot of pressure in that Ultimate Fighter house, and in the tournament, there's so much pressure, so having that friendship in that type of, like, I'm talking about, like, you say, the team atmosphere, having the friendship, it helped out so much, you know what I'm saying? And we're going to be buddies for life now. Even though we all live in different sides of the country, we're all going to be friends till the end, you know what I'm saying? They're all my good boys now, you know what I mean? And for sure, when we were winning those fights, you know what I mean? Like, got to win. And for sure, it was just like, hey, let's do it. We're all winning for ourselves and for our families back at home. But for sure, also, like, got the big win and the morale was going up. Hey, who up next? Who up next? Let's go. Keep the ball rolling. Let's do it. You know what I mean? You got this. You know what I mean? So it was like that. It was a good time.
All right. So let me ask you that. So you instantly bonded, you know, with your guys, with Alex's guys, you know, and I've always asked, like, a lot of the NFL guys, I do a couple NFL shows as well. And, you know, they come here to Tampa and there's this arch rivalry with the Carolina Panthers and it's instant. So as much as you bonded with your guys, was there an instant, even though it's professional and there's sportsmanship, was there an instant kind of dislike because that's the competition?
You know, very interesting. Great question. You know, me personally, the way I am. I tried to not be too, you know, I wasn't trying to be too confrontational, right? But right. maybe there isn't even like a psychological thing that happens, right? Like, I can remember, like, right from once we picked teams, oh, there was like a little invisible energy that happened. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it had to do with, yeah, like you just put on the jersey and you're now, oh, we got now Team Gronk and Team Ortega, you know what I mean? Blue team versus black team over here. And, man, it was a little, I mean, maybe that had a little bit to do with it or something. And maybe, like, we know we're going to fight the other guys on the team. So we're like, oh, man, these are our possible opponents now. So, yeah, I think that maybe created a little bit of a certain invisible energy. You know what I mean? Now, again, I will say it again. Everybody in the house, though, was very respectful. You know what I mean? I could honestly say that, like, there wasn't any times where I didn't have any confrontation with people. You know what I mean? Maybe sometimes some people were being loud in the house, and then the homie Lampros had to go, "Bro, you're being so fucking loud." And then the other guy goes like,
"He said trucking. Hold on a second. Hold on.
Trucking loud.
He said trucking. T-R-U-C-K-I-N-G. Trucking.
Trucking. What does that mean?
Trucking."
Sucking, yeah. Pardon me.
Hey, Ricky, listen, I'm sitting here in Times Square. I'm across the street from Bad Boy Entertainment. We know Biggie Smalls is from Brooklyn. We know he always rapped about, he's not from Houston, but he raps a lot. You're from Houston. Talk about the fight game in Houston, knowing that the UFC has been there often, and they just signed a 5-fight contract to come back to Houston. And we know what the implications of what that does around the globe when they put UFC fight performance centers in Asia and in Puerto Rico and other places, Mexico. So what do you think that does for the fight game in Texas, and especially from where you're from in Houston?
Oh, man. It is super fantastic. It really is. How cool. You know, shout out to Texas for opening back up and everything like that, and bringing sports back. Shout out to the UFC for being like the first sports that came back to the globe after all the shutdowns happened, and et cetera, et cetera. And shout out to Houston. Houston, that's my home. You know what I mean? I'm born and raised here in Houston. You know, H-Town till the death of me. You know what I'm saying? It's my home. All my family's here. You know, my mom's family that came from the Philippines moved over here. My father's family that came from El Salvador moved over here. We all live here now. It's a happy family, all of us. You know what I mean? It's great. And Houston, man, it's incredible that the UFC, they be coming over here. So it's big for all the fighters. Like, all the fighters on the UFC roster, they're going to be having opportunities to fight in sold-out crowds again and everything like that. And that's fantastic because the crowds were gone. Now the crowds are back. It makes it even cooler that we have crowds, and it's so great that it's right here in the backyard in Texas. And every time I go to downtown and I drive by the Toyota Center, you know, I can't help but just visualize, and I just say it every time, man, right there at the Toyota Center, that's going to be me up next in Tampa. You know what I'm saying? I'll be in that lineup in a sold-out arena, you know what I'm saying? And it's a crazy thing, and that's great that I'm just lucky that, hey, you know, Texas, they opened up, they're doing it big over here, and we got sports out here now, too, in Houston, and the Houston scene is just going to keep blowing up now because of that, you know what I mean? It's going to keep thriving. And shout out to Houston MMA for that, you know what I mean? And shout out to Dan White at the UFC for big for the sports. And shout out to all the UFC fans, without the UFC fans.
All right, Ricky, so I need to tell you and then ask you a question. So when I've covered the UFC back in the day, there was a UFC every 3 months, so I would go to them all. Then they would start to do, you know, every 2 months and then every month. Now that it's every week, I kind of look at three things, and this is what makes it how I pick. I pick who is fighting, I pick where the fights are, and I pick what's the food in that area. So last time I was in Houston, and I need your help to bring me back to all these fights in Houston, I went to that turkey leg place, which was phenomenal.
Yes.
All right, so give me another place or two to bring me back so I can get the turkey leg day one. Where else am I going to go eat when I get back to your town, H-Town?
Well, great question. Okay. Well, I stay over here on the north side. I'll tell you my two favorite restaurants that I enjoy, okay? Favorite restaurants. I'm a big buffet guy. If I go to a restaurant, I pretty much, if I'm going to spend money on the food, because I love cooking at the house. I love cooking. I'm a big foodie. So if I'm going to cook, I'm going to cook at the house. But if I'm going to go out to eat, then I'm going to a buffet, all you can eat, I'm going all out. So my favorite Mediterranean-type food spot is called Tableya. Tableya, it's a family-owned spot, and it's the mom, she's cooking in the kitchen in the back, you know what I mean? It's a good family, and they're cooking that Arabic, Egyptian food, you know what I'm saying? And they got it all. They got that masala chicken, you know what I'm saying? They got the biscuit, they got all the vegetables, so it's a good, healthy style spot, too, and you could just buffet it out, you know what I mean? Get that naan bread, get it with the hummus, you know what I'm saying?
You had me. That. Ricky, you had me until you said healthy. I think it's not healthy.
I feel you. And then my second pick, my second pick over here on the north side, I love going to this one sushi buffet spot called Cheese. C-H-I. Cheese, it's a sushi buffet, and then you can get it all. They get all the sushi, get that wonton, you know what I mean? Get that steak, that chicken, whatever is your heart content. You go and get filled up, get that miso soup, get it with some dessert, and get all that sushi, baby. So I'm a big
okay. Hey Ricky,
hold on a second. Hold on, Matt, because this is more important. Here's the deal. I'll come to the next UFC in Houston if I can take you to Chia and we go pig out on sushi.
Look, man, hit me up, baby. Hit me up. And if you paying for it, bro, let's do it. You know what I mean?
hey, Ricky, listen. Here's the thing. I don't know if you'll ever make it in the UFC Hall of Fame or in the Fight Hall of Fame. But I can assure you, I will induct you into the Randy Harris Buffet Hall of Fame.
That's right now.
That's the number one sidekick you've needed, Randy. Yep, you've been waiting your whole life for a Ricky.
Yep. Well, it used to be Eve Edwards, who was from the Woodlands as well. I don't know if you know that, Ricky. Eve Edwards used to live in the Woodlands. I used to hang out with him there all the time. I need a new Woodlands guy. You're my guy, a buffet guy. I can't wait to come meet you in Houston next time the UFC is there. Good stuff.
Amazing. Yeah, I appreciate it, guys, for sure. Yeah, it's amazing.
Ricky, we appreciate your time. Congratulations on last night, meaning 2.5 months ago, and looking forward to having you on again. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a pair of Veer Buds from Jabra Electronics for coming on today, and I can't wait to hit up the buffets with you.
Yeah, fantastic. Likewise, too. We will have a good time in the future. You know what I'm saying?
I can't wait. Take care, Ricky. Thanks for your time.
Hey, appreciate y'all. Thank y'all, too. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. So long. That is last night's Victor. And, he's kind of turned. Well, and so did last week, but they're turning it. Looks like Alex's team is kind of turning it. T-City pulled the Mike Allstott, Dave Moore prank and took all the tires off of Alex's car and then had a donkey there for him to ride instead of the car. it was good stuff last night. And you're right. You're gone. In the words of Donald Trump, you're fired. Ricky is my new co-host, and Yuli Diaz is my new co-host. Things are taking off.
That's an all-star team. And speaking of Trump, I'm literally around the corner from Trump International Plaza and Hotel.
Yep, you are. Take the elevator to the top. It leads to absolutely nowhere, but then you can take the escalators down as well. I don't want to necessarily throw a plug, but try to make a stop in Baltimore if I don't talk to you before. Jimmy Seafood, some of the best seafood I've ever had. Even better than some of the stuff I've had in Boston.
Oh, wow. That's saying a lot, because Boston had it pretty good food.
It is good, but the crab cakes at Jimmy Seafood is outstanding. I can't wait to go to that sushi buffet with Ricky. I'll tell you what.
That's all first inductee of the Randy Harris Hall of Fame. Buffet Hall of Fame.
Hold on. He's got to earn it. Just because he says he likes buffets, I have to see him perform.
Randy, will you please incorporate this as a real thing? And let's start nominating people. You take out UFC fighters to eat, and if they meet a certain threshold, meaning amount of food, pounds of food, number of trips to said buffet, then you enshrine them in.
I went to a Brazilian steakhouse with Alex Kappa. And when we left, he looked at me and he said, "That was impressive." When a 300-plus pound man tells, you know, me, "That was impressive," I think that's impressive.
I think you have run to something.
I didn't look down. We're out of time. I'll hit you on the flip side. We'll see everybody next Wednesday. We're out. This is Scout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stapson.
Well, guys, Reggie Bush, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads,
and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Credit Karma.
I'm Matt Piper in New York. So many questions in Haiti after its president was shot and killed early this morning inside his own home. His wife was flown to Miami in critical condition. State Department spokesman Ned Price.
Those who seek to accomplish their political goals through violence and by subverting the rule of law will not succeed in thwarting the Haitian people and their desire for a better, for a brighter future.
Critics had accused the 53-year-old of ruling like an autocrat.
I was awakened this morning by heavy gunshots, and I turned onto my phone and saw the announcement of the assassination of the president.
Port-au-Prince resident Magali Noel Dress. Jovenel Moïse had been ruling by decree since elections were scrapped in 2019. His time in office was dogged by allegations of corruption and links to gang violence, but it's likely few Haitians believe the gunman had their interests at heart. Vicky Barker, CBS News. London.
The painstakingly grim task of trying to find and pull bodies from the rubble of the Surfside, Florida condo is now in its 14th day.
We're working as hard as we can.